This is Levels of Geeks Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your host of Levels of Geeks Podcast, Alex and Friends.
Hey everyone, this is Nate from Netflix Reviews, and I am joined by my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And we are here at episode number 24 of our action movie, Levels of Geek Action Movie Podcast. This is where we break down action movies. I'll say new and old, but it's mostly old because that's, you know, that's all the good stuff. The stuff people don't talk about nearly enough anymore, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they might have talked about these movies when they came out, but you know what? YouTube wasn't around back then. So now we're giving you the breakdowns on all these movies that you can watch from the comfort of your home. This week is going to be a fun one, I think. This episode, Kill Bill Volume 1 from 2003. Alex's first time watching.
Yep.
My, I don't know, eighth, seventh, I don't know. I've seen it a bunch of times, but rewatched it. Very excited to go through it with you. First, of course, got to let you guys know, if you're watching on YouTube, please go ahead and make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel, comment down below what you think of Kill Bill Volume 1. Let us know your scores. Let us know if you disagree or agree with us. Give us all that good feedback. We like it. And of course, if you're listening on Apple Podcast or Stitcher, don't forget to make sure you're subscribed so that you get the new downloads every time they drop. And leave us a review. Leave us a star rating. Let us know if you're liking what we're doing. Okay, we're going to talk about Kill Bill here. So, of course, you know, we always start with box office and Rotten Tomatoes score. So, Alex, please, I'm going to guess that this probably did pretty well. I remember it's popular. I know that. But Quentin Tarantino movies are funny. They're not usually like huge blockbusters. Everyone waits till they come out on video and then they buy them. So I'm interested to see how this did.
You know, it's funny that you said that because I'm going to ask you. let me just say the numbers and then we'll go right into it. All right, here we go. Good Kill stuff. Bill Volume 1, 2003. Box office numbers. Domestic was $70,999,045. International was $110,800,220. Mm-hmm. Worldwide of $180 million, $899,265 on a budget of $30 million. It's a successful movie.
Big time.
But the question that I have for you is, this is a very low movie because for everyone that I talk to about this movie, everyone's like Google Gaga over this thing. Like, you have not seen it. Oh my God. Like, it, I mean, geez, right. Louise. I know David from Flix Talk, our other co-host for Wednesdays. He's a huge Kill Bill fan and Quentin Tarantino fan. So I'm very shocked that this number is very low for this movie.
I'm not surprised. See, I didn't even know. I didn't look, you know, when we look up these stuff, you look up this and I just look up Rotten Tomatoes. I don't even check. So I'm not surprised to find that out. And that's why I prefaced it with that, because Tarantino movies, while very popular within the film fan community, not always huge mass appeal movies in general. I wouldn't say he's a niche filmmaker. He's not, but he's not Christopher Nolan. You know, he's not making movies. All his movies are R-rated, hard R's always. So, you know, that cuts into it. He is way more popular within like the film fan community more than general audiences. But this one is his most, I think, it's his most kind of accessible movie, if there's a such term. Like, it's the one that's just the most, I won't say basic, but it's pretty, it's less dense than some of his other stuff. It has less dialogue. You know, all his movies are very talking heavy. This one's not, as compared to some of the other ones. So I'm not surprised by it, but I think that might be why a lot of people recommend it to you, because it is more action-oriented than any of his other movies.
Right.
So that could be why.
Yeah, I mean, I was just very shocked because, you know, when you hear it, I mean, did very well. I mean, it may quadruple the amount.
Six
times the amount. So, it's a very good start for this franchise. I mean, we're not covering Volume 2, just to let everyone know. This is we're doing our female-led month, and everyone
voted for this.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing it. You guys voted for Kill Bill, and overwhelmingly, Kill Bill was the most vote when I did that poll. Every round, it got the most votes every single time. So, like you said, very popular.
Very popular, but I will say this. I'll give a little sneak peek. I did watch Volume 2, and I'll give a little quick, not break it down like this. I'll just say a little blurb at the end What maybe if you saw it too, maybe me and you could just say our little blurb on Volume 2, because we're not going to cover it on a podcast episode, because this is our month for female led. We're not saying that we're never going to cover another female movie. We are, but for this month, we're not doing a sequel to the one. So, yeah. So for those of us,
this doesn't count as our franchises, because those have to be minimum three movies that we're counting. So there will be sequels that we do down the line, but in this case we're just covering Volume 1. So Rotten Tomatoes score, very high, obviously 85% on Rotten Tomatoes, so very well reviewed, as almost I think all his movies are. Tarantino's movies are all very well reviewed. They're all fresh. I don't think any of them are below 60, so I don't even know if any of them are below 70, but excuse me, this one is an 85%. I'm guessing you're maybe going to pull up audience score.
Yeah, dude, it's kind of even, bro. It's 81.
Okay.
4 points down.
And it's over a 7 on IMDb. I know that too. So it's like, it is popular, very well reviewed, very well liked. So now we're going to tell you if we agree with these scores, because that's what you guys are here for. You're here for our take on these movies. And we're going to give it to you. So Alex, first time watching this movie.
Yes.
You get to go first with the lead character since I'm hosting. Now, we know her name. We'll say her name. Obviously, her name is. But in this movie, they never say her name. The only time you find out her name in this movie is if you pause it when she gets the airline tickets. You can see her name on it. That's the only time. Well, every other time it's beeped out.
Guess what? It's going to be beeped out here, too.
You're gonna beep it out?
I'm going to beep it out.
He's going to beep that out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll call her the bride then. We'll call her the bride.
The bride.
Uma Thurman.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So with that said, lead character, Uma Thurman. I am not a big Uma Thurman fan. So I'm just going to let that out. Just let me just tell everybody. Come on, man. I know she was in Paycheck with Ben Affleck. I like that movie. But she was good there. But I'm not saying I hate her or whatever. I'm just not a big fan of the actress's work. This is, again, I am not a big Quentin Tarantino fan. Me and you talked off air about this stuff. I'm not big on his type of movies. I'm starting to get, now that Nate told me they're not in 4K, so I might just go to FYE and start racking up on his movies on Blu-ray and just start watching them. But with that said, main character, the bride, I thought she was fun. I thought she was very, the martial arts was, that's action, but I thought she was really good doing her martial arts. You could tell certain scenes she's not doing it, but when she's in the camera frame, she was really good. She was believable. Very noirish when she's talking, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like Sin City style. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Very pulpy, yeah.
Very Pulp Fiction. Like, she's looking at the camera and going, well, I'm going to be doing this. And I'm like, okay, cool. With that, I'm not going to draw it. The only nitpick I got is with her stupid toes. For some reason, this whole movie's like with toes. I don't get
that.
That's
Tarantino. He's got like a foot fetish thing. Okay. He always films women's feet a lot.
Then he's a sick dude. But all right. Yeah, well,
he's into them.
Yeah, he's like, she's talking to her big toe. She's like, come on, movie toe.
Wiggle.
Yeah,
wiggle your big toe.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, cool. But look, with that said, I gave her a 4 out of 5. I thought she was a very interesting character. She was very strong, and I liked the character. She was pretty good.
All right, very good. So, I'll, you know what? I'm going to agree in one regard with you. Uma Thurman's not like a ticket seller for me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see her name on something and be like, I got to see that because I love Uma Thurman. I'm fine with her. If she's in something and I like it, great. If she's in something and I don't like it, I don't hold it against her. It is what it is. Gorgeous, though. Very unique look. Very gorgeous. Tall, long. You know what I mean? So
green eyes? I think it's green or blue eyes?
Yeah, bluish. Yeah, bluish. Yeah. Bluish green, but blue eyes. I mean, just a tall, tall drink of water. I absolutely love her in this movie.
Okay.
I love Uma Thurman in this movie, and I love the character in this movie. I'm glad people voted for this for the female-led action movies, because she is a woman who is in almost every scene in this movie, very few scenes without her in it. She carries this movie all the way, 100%. The dialogue, I agree with you, is very intentionally stylized, because of what Tarantino was trying to do here, paying homage to a lot of those old 70s and 60s and 70s, like Hong Kong, You know, Marshall, it even starts with Shaw Scope. Like, this movie's in Shaw Scope from the Shaw Brothers, which is old, like, 70s martial arts movie. So, you know, it's an homage. So it is a little bit campy intentionally, which I, you know, it's fine. She delivers everything well. She's tough. Yeah, she doesn't do all her stunts. You could tell it's her in certain scenes. The other scenes, it's Zoe Bell, of course, who was in, ended up being in Grindhouse and playing herself. She was the stunt woman for her. So she's awesome too. Like,
yeah, she's good
doing. Yeah, she was great. I love the character. I absolutely love her. 5 out of 5 for me. Good. They gave you enough backstory, you know, with that, even just with that short opening scene where you're automatically on her side. You know what I mean? She's in a wedding dress. She gets blasted in the head by a gun. And then once the movie starts proper, you're like, oh, I want her. Well, I don't even know who did it. I don't know what happened, but I want her to get them. You know what I mean? Obviously, the title says it was Bill, but, you know, I want to see what happened. So they get you invested right away, and then she's great. So, yeah, 5 for me.
All right.
Main villain. So this is going to be interesting. This is I'm interested to see what you think of this one. So Lucy Liu is the overall villain of the story. Like, that's the ultimate revenge.
Yeah.
For you guys, if you've never seen it, without. Well, we do spoilers on here, but I still won't spoil all the way. But basically, Bill is the head of this assassination group that she was a part of and that these other people are a part of. And he basically shoots her on her wedding day. She's pregnant. He shoots her. But these other people were all involved in the killing. They were all her former, like, colleagues, we'll say, because she was part of a hit squad. So he is the overall leader, but he's not really in this movie. Only his voice. They never show his face in this movie. They show his hand, and you hear him talk. That's it. In this movie, Lucy Liu's character ends up being kind of the final main villain of the movie. And she's given a lot of, you know, backstory and everything. I absolutely love the anime of her backstory. It's super bloody. I'm not really into anime, I'll be honest. This was the right amount of anime. It's like 7 minutes long, maybe. You know what I mean? Super violent, just like blood spraying. But they develop her backstory. They show what happened to her parents, why she kind of becomes what she becomes. And then when Lucy Liu is playing her in, like, real life, not in anime, she does a good job. Kind of quiet, doesn't have a ton of dialogue, you know, compared to other Tarantino characters. I'll say that. But she's tough. She, you know, she, when she cuts that dude's head off, she lets him know who's in charge. She's not playing games. She's absolutely in charge of that gang. And I like her a lot, but she falls a little short. Where it falls a little short for me is the last fight. To me, she slices her, like, in the back. You know, it's a short fight, really. And granted, you know, the bride at this point has already fought 100 guys. You know what I mean? To even get to her. So she's more tired. But she still gets kind of wrecked pretty quickly, you know? It's just like one major slice to the head, and then that's it. So just because she didn't... If they would have had, like, a long, drawn-out one-on-one fight, Ip Man style, you know what I mean? I would have probably gave her a 5, but instead I'm going to give her a 4.
Okay. All right, so Lucy Liu. I agree with you. The animation threw me off because I thought one of my kids hit the remote. Because honestly, I did not know this was in the... Again, this is the first time you're watching this movie, so I didn't know we were going into a cartoon origin. So yeah. I was like, what the hell? Is this really in the movie? So I was like, oh. My wife was like, yeah. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, I thought the kids hit the button, and she laughed. She's like, you're an idiot. So I started laughing. I thought that was... You're right. I thought that was... I'm not a big animation dude. Dude. But I did like that. I thought it was pretty cool. It was very clever the way he put it into the film. That I gotta say, it's very, very clever, very unique. You never see that in new movie, any film at all, doing that.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of Lucy Liu's character, I agree with you. She's very strong. She's very good at fighting and all that. My knock for her was, I don't know if it could be I don't know, but I felt like if she was really this deadly assassin, right? Mm-hmm. She sucks. Like, I mean, let's put it really plain and simple. Like, she sucks. Like, at the end, that fight was just so garbage. Like, I'm not even going to hold my tongue. Like, I'm going to be really honest, and I don't know if people are going to kill me in the comments, but that sequence at the end was pretty dumb because she is trained with a samurai sword. Right, because she's an assassin. She doesn't do nothing unique at all. Like, and you're right. The bride fought thousands of people before she got in. She's not even huffing and puffing when she got up there, which I'm like, this is not even a believable fight because she just came through the door and she has more energy to go up against the main boss of the story of the movie. Not Bill, but the main, and it's like, you're right. She just beats her in like 2 seconds. Like, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, really? Like,
she gets sliced on her back and then she,
that's it.
She ends up doing one slice on the head.
And that's what she did.
It's too short.
And she ran. They both ran behind some like divider, and all of a sudden she gets her head chopped off. And then she goes, "Oh, that is a real Honduku knife, or whatever the name of the sword."
Hattori Hanzo.
Yeah, Hattori Hanzo sword. And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And my wife is laughing. I was like, "This sucked. Like, I was like, this really sucked. Like, and I'm not saying the movie sucked.
No, I'm just saying, I get what you're saying. I think that final fight is underwhelming."
Yeah, I think, you know, if it was me personally writing out the scene, I would have left it in a cliffhanger where she sliced her in the back and she falls, you end it there, and then volume two, she gets up. You know what I mean? Like, something to make the audience go, holy crap, did she really kill her or not? Like, something like that, I would be like, oh, okay, and then the fight continues, because then you could write out a longer battle between Lucy Liu and Uma Thurman's character. They didn't do that. They shortened it. They rushed it because they put all their time on that big battle before she meets Lucy Liu, which I was like, all right, look, it is what it is. I gave Lucy Liu a 4 also. I thought she was very good. She was a believable character, and she's in her normal, like, you know, her normal, I guess, language. Isn't she?
I think she's Chinese.
She's mixed,
she's
right?
Chinese,
she's mixed.
Yeah. She's mixed. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
She's Japanese, Chinese, American.
Yeah. So you know what? She's in her like native language. Element. Yeah, native language. So yeah, I thought that it worked well. Action scenes. The action, I gotta say, is very over the top. Over the top. Action. It starts off with action, which you want in a martial arts movie. I didn't know this is going to be a straight martial arts movie. Again, I'm watching this for the first time, so I didn't know this is straight kung fu fighting. I had to stop and breathe because I was like, oh my God, I went from It Man 2 to like this movie. So I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I liked the fight between Vivica Fox and Uma Thurman. I thought that was a really good fight.
She lasted longer than Lucy Liu.
Yeah, she did. And I'm like, she's not even trained in it. But I was like, whatever. Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked the fight that Uma Thurman has with the 60 dudes. I mean, it was a little stretched.
Crazy 88s.
Yeah, it was a little stretched out because they all had samurai swords. I was like, she would have got clipped somewhere. I mean, there's no way she could have defended all those dudes. There's no way. But
she's on a mission.
She's on a mission from God. right. Like the Bruce Brothers.
That's right.
But again, very well choreographed. I know he was shooting this to be an outstanding martial, like from the 60s and 70s, like outlandish style. So gave that a pass. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty cool. The fight scene, again, at the end was kind of weak for me. I would knock points for that because that's the fight you really wanted to see, was Lucy Liu versus Uma Thurman, and they didn't give it to you at all.
Yeah.
So with that, I gave it a 5. I thought it was a good action scene. I mean, I could knock it down to a 4 because of, but I'm not, because honestly, you got a lot. Even the scene that is setting up Lucy Liu, that whole 10 to 20 minute fight scene. Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'd never seen a movie that the main star, Uma Thurman, is standing there, beats like 8 people, and all of a sudden the eye thing goes here and there, and then like 80 people come from like all over. It worked. I thought that was pretty cool. So that's why I give it a 5, man.
Yeah. I you know what? You ain't going to get an argument from me, because if you remember, we on our live show, we talked about action scenes, favorite action scenes. And the Crazy 88's fight was on one of my top 5 favorite action scenes in movies. It is over the top. You're absolutely right. Intentionally so, which, you know, this Tarantino paying homage to things he grew up watching. And so when you get these kind of gritty 70s, 60s, 70s, and like grindhouse style movies, and like those kung fu movies, the Shaw Brothers movies. I remember my uncle, I don't remember what movie it was. My uncle in New York showed me a movie one time, old 70s kung fu movie, and the dude like cuts someone's head. It's just like this, where the blood is spraying. Like, that's how it was.
Yeah.
It was super authentic to what he was paying homage to. With that being said, he's such a good director that it's so extremely well shot that it is, you could see everything that's happening at all times. There's no like, you know, shaky camera here. Everything is shot beautifully. That scene has so many different elements where she's fighting all those guys. Then she rips out the dude's eyeball and it turns to black and white. And that was because of the MPAA. They said the scene was too bloody. There's too much red blood. So he did a whole segment in black and white so that he could leave it all in without having to do any edits, which was genius because he's like, oh, I still got my movie. I'll do black and white. And then it adds like an artistic flair to the whole thing. You know what I mean? Then they go into the room and it's all blue. And then he shoots it in a wide shot. So it's just like blue and they're in shadows. I think it looks amazing. For that fight alone, I would have gave the movie a 5. But I agree. I love the Vivek A. Fox fight. It's brutal. It's short, but it's brutal. They're like really just smashing the crap out of each other in that house. And then the final fight is underwhelming. The anime does have some good violence in it, you know, some good killing and blood and shooting and stuff. So I give it a 5 out of 5, too. I think the action, while there's a good amount, I'm not saying there's not a lot. There's a good amount, but it's so well done that stylistically that, yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. So 5 out of 5. All right, let's move on to story. So, again, this is, I love the story of this movie. I mean, this is a classic, revenge film wrapped up in a homage to martial arts and like, you know, samurai movies and ninja movies and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Classic revenge. I'm a big fan. You know, I love a good pissed off character. Uma Thurman's highly pissed off. Okay. She was wronged. She was shot in the head while pregnant. She was in a coma for 4 years. Okay, while she was in a coma, this scumbag doctor was letting people have sex with her while she was in a coma.
That was
right?
Funny, yeah. Yeah,
the scene was kind of funny. I mean, it's gross, but it was kind of funny. You know, so she's been mistreated. She's been attempted to be killed. She lost her child, okay? Not lost, but she don't have it. She don't have her child. Like, you just want nothing more than for her to get her revenge. So I absolutely love the storyline. It's simple. It's told out of order, you know, out of sequence, which is classic Tarantino. He does this in pretty much all his movies. You know, you have the chapters. They're kind of out of order. One scene I love, and then I'll let you go. One scene I love, though, when Sonny Chiba, when she goes to Japan and she meets Sonny Chiba, and he's the sushi guy that he turns out to be Hattori Hanzo. Yeah. I love that whole, like, section of the movie. From when she walks in and she's kind of like, you know, playing American that doesn't really know anything. And his English, the way he's pronouncing everything, and he's yelling at the other guy to make the tea. And there's like humor. And then she gets serious. And all of a sudden he, you know, he's like, wait a second, like, what are you? And then she knows Japanese and he's making the sword and the way they talk about the sword. Like, I love it. I love it. It's one of my favorite parts of the movie. 5 out of 5 for me. I love the storyline. It's all good to me.
You know, it's funny. That's one of the memorable scenes for me. Is that one?
Yeah.
Because I remember when she goes, oh, he goes, oh, what do you like to drink? And she goes, oh, hot sake. And he goes, oh. Yeah. Right? He's like, whatever. And he goes, hot sake this early? And then they started arguing on hot sake.
He starts yelling at him.
And you could, I don't know if this was pre-planned or it's because she knows Japanese, but there's a lot of scenes that Uma Thurman is laughing. Like, she's holding in laugh, but I don't know if it's because she knows the language, so she knows what they're saying. But I thought that was, you're right. I think that set up pretty good. In terms of storyline, I thought this was a very unique style of telling a story. It took me a while to figure it out in terms of story, like blending in all these styles into one. I enjoyed it for what it was. So I gave it a 5 for storyline. I thought the storyline was very well put. I mean, it's a simple premise. You know, lady gets killed in her wedding and she's coming out for revenge. That's the most simplest. I mean, it's John Wick all over. They killed a dog and he went crazy. Like, ain't nothing wrong with that premise. You know, if it's simple, then there you go. You don't need to make revenge, it overcomplicated. Yeah.
Revenge always works. And they started with that quote. Remember, revenge is a dish best served cold. But then the quote is quoted to, it's like something funny. It wasn't like some, you know, high person up, you know what I mean? And Sonny Chiba, of course, showing up, that guy, he was in a lot of those 70s martial arts movies. I think he was in like the Street Fighter, not the video game, the whatever, Legend of the Street Fighter or Return of the Street Fighter, whatever. Sonny Chiba's in those. So Tarantino likes to get his like childhood heroes in his movies. Okay. So I thought it was pretty cool to see him in this movie.
Yeah, so look, I gave a storyline a 5.
All right, awesome. So overall total film for you?
I gave it a 4. I thought it was a good story. I enjoyed the fighting for what it was. Is it for me? I'm still on the fence. Would I put it on? I would put it on. I'm not going to say I'm never going to watch it again. But it was enjoyable for what it was. I enjoyed all the, you know what it is? I like when people take risk with camera shots, and this movie had a lot of risk with camera shots. Black and white. I love, first of all, everyone knows I love black and white footage. So once the movie started in black and white, I thought the movie was in black and white. I was like, yes, but then I saw color. But then it came and went back. So I liked the whole, this is the thing that I actually liked a lot. When she knocks on the door, and on the Vivica A. Fox, she rings the doorbell, and when she opens it, it stops and it goes, right? It did that
red.
Yeah, and it's like,
yeah, I love that.
I don't know why. I thought it was awesome, and they did it again.
When she sees the lawyer lady.
Yes, but it was like the it was like something about that sound. It was like, and I was just like, this is pretty cool. I'm going to try to get that sound for my soundboard. So, yeah, that would be awesome. But anyway, with that said, I gave it a 4.
Yeah, I am now, granted, admitted, no shame in my game. I'm a huge Tarantino fan. I really am. I think this is his this is not my favorite Tarantino movie by any means.
Okay.
But it's definitely, it's top tier for me. I think it is his most accessible movie. For a very common audience, and I'm not speaking down to anybody. I'm just saying, like, you know, you have your general moviegoers, and then you're like diehard guy, film fans. This works for both, I think. It's his most accessible. It's less dialogue heavy than a lot of his other movies. Very commercial, this movie, in my opinion. But I love it. I love that scene. I love everything he does with the camera, with the colors. It turns all red. Even when the cop shows up and looks at her and it's all green, mm-hmm. and then he takes off his sunglasses and then it turns to color. You know what I mean? He does a lot of stuff with colors and sound and music. I love the music in this. Even when she's on the plane, it's like, it's that weird like music. And it's like a little toy airplane that's flying over Japan. And oh man, I love everything he did. So it's a 5 out of 5 for me. Besides the villain, it was the only thing that's a 4, but everything else, I've always loved this movie. I still loved it. You know, I haven't watched it in years. So I was really happy to rewatch it. I had just as good of a time as I ever had. So 5 out of 5. So let's give our totals. For me, that ends up being a 24 out of 25. Almost a second 25, but not quite. Just under. But 24 out of 25 for me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a 22 out of a 25.
Yeah.
For a first awesome time movies. Watch. Yeah, it's a very good movie.
Very good. You guys picked a good one for us to watch for the first of our woman, female-led action films. Now, quick, because I know you wanted to, we'll just touch base on Kill Bill Volume 2. What did you... because I'll be honest, I like it a lot less than the first one, but I know a few people who prefer it to the first one. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think?
I will say this. I did not enjoy it. I'm not going to break it down because it might be a future episode, so I'm not going to break down everything, but I will say is I did not like it. I thought it was very heavy dialogued. Less action than the first one. I enjoyed the... I like the style of camera work that he did in one, and I was like, I thought that was going to translate in two, and it wasn't. Like, certain things he took away, and I was like, this is why I liked one. Like, why would you take that away? And then again, I'm not in Quentin Tarantino's mind, so I don't know why he did what he did. But, again, there's certain things he took away, certain camera shots and colors that he took away. I thought he should have brought it back, and he didn't. So I was a little annoyed with that. But I didn't enjoy it for what it was. But, again, this will be a future episode, so I don't want to break it down too much on characters and everything.
I could see that. I think 2 is more Tarantino-y than the first one because it is more dialogue heavy and things like that. There's still some action. There's still fights, you know, don't get me wrong. And it's another one where the end fight is slightly disappointing.
Oh,
you
my
get
God.
This whole thing, and you finally get the Bill, and then what happens there? So in both movies, the final kind of boss fight is a little underwhelming. Overall, I do like that movie. It's definitely lower tier for me. It'll probably be like in the bottom 4 me. So I could totally see that.
You know, it's funny. I'm sorry to cut you off, but it reminded me of John Wick, the Kill Bill Volume 2 ending. Like, you know, like he did all this to get that one person to just bang. Okay. And that's it.
Right.
Like, you get what I mean? It was like, there was nothing. It was just like, okay, but I kind of understand people are going to say, well, he's just like that, but we're going to break that down when we do those movies. But,
I wonder if, you know, I know they've still been talking about releasing this as a one whole movie because it was supposed to be one movie. It wasn't supposed to be two movies. It was supposed to be one movie, and then it was too long, so they cut it into two. So that's why I would be interested to see it as one movie, to be honest. But what I really would like to see is to see it in order, in sequential order. So rather than the out of order style, which is fine, it works.
Right.
But I would love to see it like start to finish the story. I think that would be kind of interesting to see as well. But anyway, so that is Kill Bill Volume 1. That is our first in our female-led action podcast. Next week, we will be reviewing Lucy as our starring Scarlett Johansson in the lead. Luc Besson. Film, a film that I'm going to give you guys a preview for. I hated when I saw it at the movie theater. So I bought it because it came in a steelbook. I have not seen this since 2014 when it came out in the theater. So it's been 6 years. I'm a different person now. Maybe I'll like it, but I remember not liking it very much. So,
well, I'll give you a little sneak peek for myself. I seen this movie once when I brought it in 2014. And I hated it. So again, this is another
from the same exact spot. So that should be interesting. But that'll be our next in our female. Just to give you guys a reminder, Lucy. The week after that will be Sucker Punch, and the week after that will be Atomic Blonde. So those are our female led movies. Some of those are first time watches for. Or one of those is first time watch for Alex to Sucker Punch. So I'm interested to see. But anyway, of course, as always, please don't forget to. Give us a follow. Follow me on Instagram, Nateflix Reviews. You can follow my podcast, my other podcast with my other friends, Nateflix Movie Reviews. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify. If you use Spotify, we're on there as well. So you can give us a listen there. And then Alex, of course, Levels of Geeks on everything.
Yep.
Twitter, Instagram, right here on YouTube. He's Levels of Geeks. Everywhere. So make sure you give them a follow. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast as well, as we said at the top of the show. And that's pretty much it for me.
There you have it. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.